Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I had to go about it, write it out, and find it myself. And there's some stories I can tell you. I had to fail, had to fall, just for what I did well. And there's some stories I can tell you.
This is the Final Word World Cup Daily, Day 38, Part 2. Jeff Lemon and Bharat Sundaresan with you. We are in different places tonight, Bharat, so I have gone full bathrobe because this is our last group game of the World Cup. There is one more game to come. Adam and Cam Ponsonby will do India, Netherlands tomorrow. For me and you, it's time to kick back for a couple of days. This is it.
We started next to a pool, didn't we? So it's only ideal that if we finish with you at least in a bathrobe. My guest house hasn't offered me one. It feels like many, many moons ago when we stood atop one of the hotels that you were staying in Chennai, overlooking a pool. I'm going to say it was 17 years ago, but yeah, we've got here finally, and we have the semi-finals to look forward to.
We have aged since then. The show is brought to you by Westfield London and Westfield Stratford City, and it is time for a 30-second summary. England played Pakistan today, and England remembered how to bat. There were half centuries for Johnny Bairstow, Joe Root, Ben Stokes, a bit of hitting at the end from Harry Brook, and they got up to 337/9 after Pakistan bowled okay in the first bit, but then not so much after that. And then Pakistan were nowhere chasing it. Both openers out for one run between them, and that was pretty much it. If it wasn't going to be a Fakhar Zaman miracle, it wasn't going to happen. Babar Azam and Mohammad Rizwan poked around, cramped up, and then got out, and then the rest of it was a bit of a procession until there was some happy slapping right at the end of the innings. They were all out for 244, Pakistan, and England won by 93 runs. So kind of pointless, Bharat. Didn't mean a lot, except that it gets England up out of the drop zone. There was that, you know, everybody was enjoying the Champions Trophy qualification sub-narrative that was there. And there was the Hail Mary for Pakistan going into this game, that if they could bat first and make 400 and bowl out England for 150 or so, then they might get above New Zealand on net run rate. Basically, as soon as the coin came down for England and they chose to bat, that was it. Pakistan couldn't qualify realistically at that stage. And then it was just a matter of playing out a dead game. And my God, the games today were dead. Like the first game as well. As magnificent as the Mitch Marsh 100 was, they were the deadest of games. And I feel very grateful that at least this didn't start a week ago, because there was a very real risk that it could have started a week ago had some results not made things interesting through the middle of the table.
Oh, I had that fear as well. 2 weeks ago, it looked like the top four, as we have found, it is that same top four, had booked themselves in for semi-final berths. It was really going to be a question of who finishes third and who finishes fourth. And then everything just went wild, or relatively wild. I mean, that kind of tells you how sort of predictable the early half was, after India, New Zealand and South Africa in particular just ran away at the top of the table. But you're right, I mean, things have gone back. But today there were just, especially in the Pakistan-England game, there were two significant moments that decided the game, right? The toss you spoke about, England playing classic party pooper, saying, oh, I know you have a chance of making the semi-finals if you bat first, but no, we'll bat first. But you can't blame Jos Buttler either. They had that Champions Trophy qualification up for grabs as well, or maybe they had to make sure that they get there. And the second point was, could Pakistan chase down 338 in 6.1 overs? Well, unfortunately, they could not. But also, I found it funny that they were 30 for 2. I mean, it's not like they were 80 and like giving it a go. Not that it would have made any sense. But that made a dead rubber even deader, that Pakistan was scoring at 4.5 runs in an over, or an over, in a game where albeit the game was done and this fate was sealed, but where they were supposed to show some urgency, they were just taking it slow. Mohammad Rizwan and Babar Azam were just like, you know, picking up singles, picking up twos, like it's the second game of the tournament. You still have four weeks left.
Right? And what is the point at this stage? Right? What is the point? So Pakistan finished fifth regardless. They still had their 8 points and their net run rate didn't suffer that much. So their place, there was nothing to play for there. And they're the hosts anyway, supposedly, for the Champions Trophy, so they should qualify on that basis. England actually get all the way up to seventh at the moment. So they're out of the drop zone, even if the Dutch managed to beat India somehow. The Dutch would get out of the drop zone and Bangladesh and Sri Lanka would go down if that happened, but England are safe. But yeah, it was astonishing that, I mean, okay, you're not going to hit 37 balls in a row for six. And even if you did, it's still not going to get you to the total because 37 times six is what, 310 or something. I don't know, someone who can do arithmetic on the fly can work that out. You're still not going to win the game in time. But still, the fact that it's, okay, the fact that Abdullah Shafiq's out second ball of the innings, David Willey, left arm, bit of in-swing, blows his pad off, doesn't review, which I liked because he was stone. And then third over, Fakhar skews a top edge. That was the Tendulkar in the 2003 World Cup final shot, right? Yeah. Where you're like, if this team's going to win this game, this guy has to go after it. Yeah. He does go after it. He gets out early, and that's game over, goes to mid-off. And then Babar and Rizwan put on 51 in 68 balls in a game where they're supposed to go at 36 and over. They're just like, well, I guess we'll just have a bat now and see how this turns out and see if we can notch ourselves a morale-raising win while we finish fifth on net run rate for the 14th tournament in a row. It was weird and it was a little bit annoying, but I suppose it wasn't that surprising. You know, and then they go, Barbara pulls a ball to mid-wicket on 38. Rizwan gets bowled by Moeen coming down and slogging, and the ball turns and he has a very Rizwan sort of cramp attack on 36. They're 104 in the 23rd, and any hope that they're even going to win the game in 49.4 overs pretty much is gone at that point.
What was your take on the toss, though? I mean, did you think that England would make it interesting by giving Pakistan the chance to make 400 and then bowl them out for 112? I mean, why should they, though, right? Like, it's not that...
Why?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, why should they offer that opportunity to Pakistan on a platter? I mean, let's face it. I mean, both teams have had not just disappointing campaigns. Yes, Pakistan had a couple of decent moments, the World Cup record chase and that incredible match against New Zealand, where obviously the rain helped their cause, but they were so far ahead on DLS, you can't say they got extremely lucky. But they've not been entertaining either. I mean, it's not like they've had campaigns where you can look back at it and say, oh, but there was so much fun. I mean, this was, you could talk about this aspect and maybe laugh at them. They've just been dull more than anything. Both teams, to be honest, except at least Pakistan had those two games. But England, they've just been dull. There's been nothing that you could write home about. It's been a very similar trend of sorts. Till the last two games, obviously, they've started getting some runs on the board when it didn't matter.
It was interesting, like purely for the bowling in the back half when you had Rashid and Moeen bowling together. And this pitch was really turning. Like it was doing quite a bit. Some things that could have been Hall of Fame worthy if the Hall of Fame wasn't already packed full, like Rashid bowling a left hand around his legs with a wrong un. So normally, you know, the leg spinner's bowling the right hand around the legs. But to float one up to Saad Shakeel and knock over, not even leg stump, but middle stump with the wrong un that turned so far. And then to get shut up with the right hander with a wrong un that turns in, the leg spinner can't read the googly, which is kind of funny at the same time. Iftikhar skying Moeen to mid off, and Dav Milan takes that crazy catch falling backwards and loses his sunglasses and does a big backward roll and all the rest of it. So that was pretty entertaining. And then there was the milestone derby towards the back end of the Pakistan innings, where David Willey's on 99 ODI wickets, Rashid's on 199, and this is a less significant one, I guess, but Chris Wokes is on level with Botham on 30 World Cup wickets for England, which is the record. Now, I mean, breaking a record like that in such a dismally unsuccessful campaign wouldn't be a huge thing to celebrate. You're not going to be making up a T-shirt and riding the plane home wearing it. But it was like, who does Butler bring on at this point? Because they all knew this stuff. And it ends up being that Willey ends up getting it. He gets Aga Salman, who was good, made 51 and hit a few... hit a six and a few fours when things were needed a bit of a pickup late in the game. He hits one to mid-off. Stokes catches that. So Willie gets that record. And then Wokes gets his because he ends up getting one of the last ones to fall. But Rashid doesn't. So if Adil Rashid wants his 200, he's going to have to play at least one more ODI from this point. When you think, okay, he's got a new contract, but that might be for T20 stuff for the most part, and he might otherwise have thought that's it for 50-over cricket. Will he play a little cheeky series against Ireland at some point? Have a feeling he might.
I think he will. I think he'll continue on for maybe a year or so. I was also reading, I think Matt Rawlers wrote about how they don't have a replacement ready-made for Adil Rashid. Parkinson and Mason Crane have just kind of come and gone in some ways, and Rehan Ahmed is still really young. And Adil Rashid is still a very fit guy. And you can use white ball cricket, 50-over cricket, to keep yourself going, keep yourself in rhythm for the T20 cricket. And let's face it, the next 5-7 years, Adil Rashid is going to play a lot of T20 cricket in England, for England, and definitely around the world. So, you know, having a couple of one-day series here and there, he won't lose it now that he does have that contract, like you said. But I think it was a game where you're also, whether it was with Ben Stokes or with Joe Root or David Malan or David Willey, all of them, and even a few in the Pakistan camp, you're watching them play and wondering, is this the last time I'm seeing this guy in this format? And with Ben Stokes, you would think so. And it's only apt that if this were to be his last ODI, that he got cleaned up by an in-swinging Yorker on a day when he played a very Ben Stokes kind of innings. I mean, there were periods where he tried all sorts of funky shots that didn't come off. But overall, it was a Ben Stokes innings. And you thought he's going to finish with another 100. But then to be cleaned up by... if I were a bowler bowling to Ben Stokes, I would want to clean bowl him. He always makes the ball look better than it was, right? Just with the way his follow-through is after he gets cleaned up. So, yep. Similarly with Saad Shakil as well. I mean, the number of times in cricket, in the history of the game, batters have been bowled, you know, around their legs. All of them react the same way, as if, what? I was bowled behind my legs?
How did that happen? Why? That's not possible. That's never happened before.
It's amazing how all of them react like that. Like, you know, I've never been bowled around my legs, so I don't know whether I would have reacted the same way. But yeah, it's amazing how that happens. But yeah, and with David Willey as well, right? Gets the 100th wicket. He hits a 6 in his last game. You know, provides... He had the classic David Willey game to finish, right? Some runs in the end, wicket with a new ball, wicket in the death, still went for a few runs. That's David Willey's career in a nutshell.
Belted a couple. What he whacked 4-6-4 in an over and then gets caught off Mohammad Wasim at the death, who is getting the ball to reverse, by the way. Yeah. I mean, that's almost Hall of Fame worthy. We've seen no reverse in this tournament. Yeah. And Mo Wasim was getting it to go right at the end there. He bowls Gus Atkinson too, first ball. So that means, I know people have been enthralled following this stat watch, Gus Atkinson's batting strike rate in World Cup cricket now falls below Glenn Maxwell. So there are now only six players with a higher batting strike rate in World Cup cricket than Glenn Maxwell. And none of them has faced more than 36 balls. Maxwell's faced 556. Good to keep tabs on that. Rhys Topley is still up there. So if we have a look at the England innings, it was maybe the chemistry is finally starting to build just in time for Bairstow and Milan, who put on a partnership, dominant partnership, 82 by the 14th over. Milan top edges a little reverse eventually on 31. Iftikhar and Rizwan takes the catch behind, juggles it a few times, but eventually takes it. Bairstow gets to 59 and nails Harris Ralph to cover, where he gets caught, and then 132 run stand between Root and Stokes. I thought Stokes looked good today. I mean, he went after the bowling more. He was smacking over the leg side a fair bit. He was hobbling between the wickets. He looks like a guy who needs a knee operation, weirdly. But he also looked like if he wasn't there, things might have been more difficult for England. 84 off 76. Although he should have been out very early on because Shaheen dropped a couple. Yeah. He dropped Milan return catch, then he dropped Stokes return catch, even easier. He's got to learn to fucking catch off your own bowling, Shaheen. Like, those were very straightforward. Mitchell Starc take those kind of catches all the time. Left arm quick, it's going to come back at you, like if it stops in the pitch a bit, and you see Starc take those one-handed even, and Shaheen was getting two hands to them and dropping them. Like he was like, oh, I can't believe it bowled me around my legs. Can't believe someone hit the ball back at me. That's going to happen. Like especially when it's swinging in a bit and cramping them for a room. So look, that happens, and Stokes goes on to his 84, and then as you say, left, it's Shaheen eventually. Left arm is swinging in. Mitchell Starc gets Ben Stokes out a lot as well, and similar one, absolutely loses off pole, which looks terrific. And then Root, the slower ball, leading edge, Afridi to shut up Khan at backward point for 60. And Butler should have been out for 13, but Harris Ralph stuffs up the catch, steps on the rope. So, you know, by that point, basically England have set up the innings so that the rest of it's just icing the cake.
I think, you know, where both England and Pakistan, the way they played today, I mean, yes, Pakistan were poor in the field overall, but they seem to be peaking at the right time. You know, they should, I think if I was England or Pakistan or both, I would just sign off this one-day series that you can play on the sideline somewhere. There are a lot of grounds ready in India right now. Just stay back, play a three-match one-day series, because I would watch that one-day series. They just peaked at the right time. So what if the World Cup is over? Let the South Africa and India and all of them play the semifinals. You go and have a one-day series. Like, you know, you have players in form. Maybe, you know, Adil Rashid can get that 200th wicket. I call for an England-Pakistan ODI series to be organized immediately.
This would really work, actually, if India ever get knocked out of a World Cup at the group stage. You could play two India semi-finals and then an India final as well. So maybe Pakistan and England can set the precedent now so that we've got that in the bank, literally, for the ICC for next time. I think it's time for the final word, Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame, where we pick our most final word moment of the day, brought to you by Westfield London, Westfield at Stratford City. You've got a new campaign that they're running here. Bharat, it starts as such. Would you like to meet a man with a massive sack who is capable of miracles and can dispatch gifts to even the most difficult to reach spaces? It's not Glenn Maxwell, it's Father Christmas. Journey through a starlit sky before meeting the big guy in the red suit himself at the Wish Upon a Star Santa experience at Westfield London and Stratford City from the 8th of December. It's free. You can take your own pictures, so it's the most affordable Santa experience, because the other places always sting you. You go to meet Santa, great, you're supposed to get a gift from Santa, and then they're like, by the way, that'll be $38 for the photo of your adorable screaming three-year-old sitting on Santa's knee. You know, that's where they get you. They get you with the guilt money through your children. They make you feel guilty about being a bad parent if you don't shell out. You can just take your own pictures at Westfield. That's the good part. Tickets going fast. If you miss out on tickets, I think the easiest thing to do is just hit up Mayor Adam on Twitter, and we will forward you to the most to the relevant person, rather than trying to spell out URLs and Twitter handles and all the rest of it. Get in touch with us. Tell us you're a pod listener, and we'll sort you out.
You know how much I love my Home Alone and Christmas movies growing up. Is there an age gap on how old or how young you can be before you get to sit on Santa's knee? I've always wanted to do that. Like, will it be allowed?
I'm sure it's come up. I'm sure it's come up before. I'm sure there are some people who get down there who are of the older persuasion. And so I think with your childish enthusiasm and wonder for the world, they couldn't deny you if you show up at Stratty or Westfield London.
Santa, here I come.
So there's our booking for Christmas. So I'm going to start with a couple of Joe Root bits today, Bharat. There were two things I loved. One is that there's a guy moving around above the side screen at one point, and Joe Root is absolutely popping off about it. He's waving his arms around. He's getting very agitated. He's like, move, move. So the TV camera cuts to the area above the side screen. And, of course, what does the dickhead do? Sees he's on TV and starts waving at the TV camera frantically. We know that people all around the world love to get on TV cameras, but it's like maybe here more than anywhere, getting on the camera is the most important thing. And I found that hilarious. Also, Joe Root finally got over the line for 1,000 World Cup runs. No England player's ever done it. Now, he started the tournament on 758, right? He made 77 and 82 in his first two knocks. He's going to breeze it in. He's on 917 runs, and then six innings go by, and he goes from 917 to 964, can't make a fucking run, can't get there. He's got one more innings, which was today. He's not going to play another World Cup, is he? Yeah, he might think he is, but I don't think that's going to happen. And then he makes 60 today and finally gets there. A bit of a damp squib at the end of a dead campaign, but he staggers over the line and now makes it 28 players in men's 50-over World Cup who've got 1,000 runs.
That's the thing with England and one-day cricket, right? Like, their stats never tally up to everyone else, even though one-day cricket started there. Like, when it comes to... We've spoken about this in the past as well. The overall tally of runs, centuries or whatever. And Joe Root has really been that one guy who's... ensured that an English player at least appears in the top 15, top 20 brackets, whether it's like when it comes to centuries or I think runs, he still has a long way to go. I mean, you'll have Indians who made 15,000, 14,000 runs, and first Englishman to get past 6,000 ODI runs. So
Totally.
They've played catch up all along. So it's good that finally we're getting some of those names coming through. But yeah, I mean, I didn't mention Joe Root playing his arguably his final World Cup match. Final ODI, I don't know, maybe. But just the way he got out as well for me, Joe Root, the way he gets out, the bat turns in his hand, and he's got that classic shake of his head saying, "Why is the world against me?" Which kind of, for me, just the expression on his face summed up England's campaign. Like the whole, why is everything again? Why is the World Cup against us? Has been the narrative that's come through a lot. I think we have to focus a little bit more on the Rizwan dismissal, right? The whole cramps thing. Is it cramps? Is it acting? It was his famous quote after he got Pakistan over the line in that game. And it was almost like the cramp karma coming to bite him today. He gets bowled, tries to jumping out at Moeen Ali. And then he just left there. It's not like anyone came to his aid like they did when he was taking them home against Sri Lanka. So it was kind of, there's a bit of irony in it. Mohammad Rizwan is a popular guy. He's a funny guy. But it was just funny that that's how his World Cup ended.
His calf just seized up completely by the looks of it. So he fell over and all the England players just ran past him to celebrate. We figured that one out. It's slightly embarrassing, I suppose. But he was keeping wicket for 50 overs in the heat as well. So you've got to pop that in there. Which brings me to pickle juice. Simon Doolan on commentary wondering how the use of pickle juice to repair cramps was first discovered. And Matthew Hayden's response is, it might have been the farmers out in the field harvesting the pickles. Harvesting the pickles. You've written cookbooks. It's a cucumber that you put in vinegar for a while. You don't grow pickles. There's no pickle tree. There is no magic pickle tree, Matthew. That is not how pickles work. A couple more before we go. Harris Ralph's little fake out when he stepped back on the rope for that six. And you can tell he stepped on the rope because his body jolts and he goes, oh, and then he throws the ball back in and then he signals to his teammates like, I don't know, maybe. You definitely know you stepped on the rope, dude. Come on. And then Blocker Wilson with his run out referral when Butler is about 3 yards out, direct hit from backward point, non-striker's end. Pakistan players go up. Butler starts walking off and Blocker goes, oh, send that upstairs. Come on. Pop the finger up, give it out. Anyway, that's my final group stage Hall of Fame.
There was a misfield for me that stood out as well. I think early on in England's innings when Wasim was bowling and Fakhar Zaman just let one through his legs. It was classic Pakistan, right? Like it was classic Pakistan in this tournament and especially in this game. He comes running around and the ball's gently rolling towards him, but he still somehow manages to get that ball through his legs. Yeah, there you go. England and Pakistan had to finish with a few howlers, a few blunders, and that's what we saw today.
Well, England stagger over the line. That means 3 wins for them for the tournament, and that means the end of the show for us. It's been the Final Word World Cup Daily, day 38.2. Jeff Lemon, Bharat Sundaresh, and thanks to Westfield London and Stratford City. If you want to support the show, go to patreon.com/thefinalword. And of course, the Final Word is not over. There will be there'll be the Daily Show tomorrow. There'll be a historical ep on Monday, and there will be what we'll start getting into previews and so on for the semi-final ahead of midweek. Semi-final and final daily shows, of course, and story time all in the mix as we surge towards the finish line of the 2023 Men's ICC ODI World Cup. It takes one day, Bharat, and this day is over. That'd be the same we've been doing for centuries. Sorry if I ran out to empty, wrote this so you know what I meant here. I had to go.